Good morning and welcome to, let's see, I'm sorry, put the wrong page up. There we go. There we go. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, it's January 14th. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading in the big book. We're on page 13 of Bill's story. The first paragraph, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol. Paragraphs ending with, I have not had a drink since. Comments on both paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Susan G., the 12 Traditions, Lou Ann. The readers of the text are Julie E.B., Leslie M., and Ann S.C.H. The share ID for Tuesday, January 13th, 10 a.m. meeting is 23,122. That's 23122. And Wednesday, this morning's meeting, January 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,124. That's 23124. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and our announcements person is Robin P., and thank you all very much for your service. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is a private organization. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo. And everybody, Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Susan G. from Tennessee. Now I will ask Luann C. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C., and I am really grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. The 12 traditions, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me help out. I pass.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Luann C. from Idaho. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 13. The first paragraph at the top of the page, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol, reading through two paragraphs ending with, I have not had a drink since. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. Gracefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Reading from Bill's story. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. There, I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under God's care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing and that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my own newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. Well, thanks for letting me share. I'm Julie, gratefully recovered compulsive over and under eater, and I know the pain of this disease, and not just of the food, which I was completely lost in. You know, if you had told me about 9 years ago that I could indeed live away from the food, and maintain, you know, over 100-pound weight loss, I would have said there's no possible way. but this really has happened one day at a time. And every minute that we're separated from our alcoholic foods, ingredients, behaviors is a gift. Of course, treatment seems wise, for I am shaky indeed. It's so easy to see things that I want to treat in my life, fears, resentments, harms, just interacting with people, you know, the disease centers in my mind. And so I have a day that I remember humbly offering myself to God for God's care and direction. Passage. I remember that day, but I also remember that it's a task for today. The only way that I've been able to remain in this program is that I had to not only admit for myself, for the first time, that of myself, I couldn't run the world, but I have to admit daily. In fact, in the middle of my 11-step prayer, it says, throughout the day, I pause when irritated and doubtful, humbly reminding myself I am not running the show and praying for the next right thought or action. And this is how God has ruthlessly taken these things away from me. My higher power, I choose to call God root and branch by humbly reminding me every day. Yesterday, I wanted to run the show. Overnight, I was disturbed by the addictive or possible addictive behavior of someone I love. And once again, I had to say, God, I don't run the show. I don't know what's best for others. Most of the time, I don't know what's best for myself because I'm not God. And when I remember that, my life is smoother. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. I'll remind everybody where we are. We're in Bill's story, page 13. Top of the page, first paragraph, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol. We're reading through two paragraphs, ending with, I have not had a drink since. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Monday or Tuesday, please wait until tomorrow. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry H. Michelle W.C.
Okay, I got Sherry H.M., I think. Who was after Sherry?
Michelle W.C.
Michelle W.C.
Andrea, Ohio.
Andrea.
C.K.
C.K. I have Sherry H.M., Michelle W.C., Andrea B.F., and C.K.
Luann
else? Luann C. And who was after Luann?
Dawn B.
Barb. Oh, Dawn. Hi, Dawn. Okay, Dawn B.
Dawn B.
Yeah.
Michelle right. A.C. in Colorado.
Oh, that's different than Michelle W.C., huh?
It is.
Okay. I see why you guys are doing the two letters, A.C. All right, let's stop there. That's a good lineup. I have Sherry H.M., Michelle W.C., Andrea B.F., C.K., Luann C., Dawn B., and Michelle A.C. All right, everyone mute, please, except Sherry. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sherry H.M. calling from Washington State. I'm so grateful for everyone on this meeting. And I just, the other day, a couple days ago, was my 11.4 month, 100,000 minutes without sugar. I'm so, so grateful. I never thought that would have happened to me because sugar was my king. Like it says in the book, big book, alcohol was my king. Sugar was my king. There were some other members involved too, different kinds of foods and that. But I'm telling you, this is so good. And I feel this way today. It's by the grace of God and this wonderful program. I never, I had heard, you know, all these people talking at the beginning when I went in many years ago and thought, oh, that'll never, ever be me. They don't understand how bad my problem with sugar, you know, and food is. Well, I don't miss it. I do not miss it. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't think about, you know, body image. Oh, you know, how much did I eat? I don't, that's just not really on my mind. But, you know, the steps work. Oh, I'm so grateful. Gosh, I just can't say how grateful I am. It was my gift of desperation that led me into the arms of a loving God, you know, who when I did the work, and I do the work every so often, though, guys, I get, you know, lazy. I don't want to call somebody, blah, 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 all that. And that's my stinking thinking. I have to pick up the phone. And, you know, one time I had a terrible, terrible thing happen, actually to myself and my puppy. She finally got better. But anyway, you know, when I had PTSD and all this, and one day I opened up the fridge. I was pretty new in the program. And God said, you know, Sherry, there's nothing in this fridge that is going to make you feel any better. So thankfully the steps work, and I just can't say how grateful I am. Sherry with a C, Sherry HM from Washington. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Sherry HM, as she said, from Washington. Up next is Michelle WC, followed by Andrea BF. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle WC in California. Wow, these two paragraphs are really powerful, and you know, some of the words that stand out to me are, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. And for me, it reminds me of the last time I broke my abstinence in June of last year, when I was on this, we did a family trip, but it was very stressful with some stressful family dynamics. And I also made my last amends on that trip to my dad. And I was just really encouraged and almost forced to take home some baked goods that everyone was talking about. And that's when I got back home, I did indulge and I broke my abstinence. And what it showed me then was that powerlessness that I truly had over the food. I think I was still, part of me was holding on to some sense of power and control, but I had that mental blank spot, and it was so obvious to me at that time. And I keep praying that I remember that feeling of desperation that, I mean, I really had deep in my core, in my gut, as I was, you know, just feeling so sick from those alcoholic foods that I was consuming. And it really, at that point in time, I surrendered and I was willing to work this program like my life depended on it. And this past Sunday, I had a busy weekend. It was exhausting between my daughter's birthday party and all these other activities. And then right before bedtime, I had this crazy thought when I saw some food that ended up on my towel rack, of all places, from the birthday. And I had this thought of, oh, it's fine to go ahead and just lick that up. And when I had that moment of insane thinking, I was like, oh my God, I am that exhausted that I thought I could lick some food up on a towel rack. And it scared me, and it reminded me of that day back in June. And I was like, I am that exhausted. There's nothing I can do except go to bed. And I'm so glad that I went straight to bed and that I saw that warning sign. And I truly, some of the other phrases from this paragraph is, you know, I humbly offered myself to God because I was nothing without him, and he was my friend. And when I'm that exhausted or needing in search of comfort, safety, security, ease, I could only get that from God. I used to think I could get it from food. I used to think I could get it from my husband or my children. And that's not the case. I can only get that from my higher power. With that, I pass. Michelle WC in California.
Well, thank you very much. That is Michelle WC in California. Up next is Andrea BF, followed by CK. Good morning, Andrea.
Hi, this is Andrea in Ohio. I just wanted to share today. I oftentimes don't say much, and I think it's really important for my recovery that I participate fully and share, even when I don't know what I'm going to say. I have a perfectionist in me, too, that wants to say the right thing. And it's like, you know what, I'm just going to share from my heart and leave it up to God. But I'll say that this time around, I've been experiencing a lot of freedom and feeling super close to God. And I think reflecting on it, I'm noticing that each time around, because, you know, I've had a lot of history of going in and out, and I get to this point where I feel super close to God. Like when I'm working the steps and I'm abstinent and I feel connected, I feel this clarity, this calmness, this curiosity. And it's like, that's real each and every time. And I think I convinced myself that wasn't real because I relapsed. And, but it's always real. It's just that I stop doing the work at some point or something else comes in. It's like, I think I just looked at it so black and white, like, oh, I just haven't had like the spiritual awakening yet. I think each and every time I put down the food and I work these steps diligently, I have an experience with God that is undeniable. And it's just a matter of one day at a time, keep showing up, keep doing it, keep moving forward. I'm having some really cool insights that impact how I go about my day. And like this guidance, you know, this pause, I never knew how to do that. I'd say it, but wouldn't really do it. And I've been pausing and, you know, asking God and, you know, what do I do next? And something comes, you know, it's like there's this guidance and like a thought will pop into my head. Like today, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to get on a meeting. Oh, it's almost 10. Maybe I'll share. Maybe I ought to share. And I feel like that was God inspired. And so I'm just listening and I just do it. So I'm just glad to be here. Really grateful for the meeting, for everybody. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. That's Andrea B.F. in Ohio, I think it is. Okay. Up next is C.K., followed by Luann C. Good morning, C.K. Good morning, C.K. Press star one.
Peace, family. This is C.K. in California. Peace, family. This is C.K. in California. Today is day 458. I'm grateful, and I'm a real Bill. You know, it's so interesting. I was just sitting in my morning meditation yesterday with my inner child, and she was my inner teenager, and she was crying and crying these three words, I am nothing. And she was crying because, you know, that's the core belief. You know, that's a lot of messages that were received when I was little from sick adults, from sick parents. You know, I got the impression that I was nothing. And I'm sitting with this child. I'm a loving parent to my inner children today because of recovery. I'm sitting with this child and I'm pushing back. I'm telling her, like, that's not true. You were never nothing. And then I wake up this morning and get on vision. I hear these words again. And I can have the proper context now for I am nothing. You know, an act of addiction, when I'm a tornado running through people's lives, you know, when I'm when self-will is running riot, and I'm playing God, I'm acting like a higher power, that version of me is nothing, you know. That version, an act of addiction, is nothing. But when I place myself unreservedly under my higher power's care, when I'm with her, because she is everything, I become something in recovery. In recovery, I can be something. You know, I am something in recovery. Not everything, because only she is everything. Only God is everything. But I become something. I become something because I can be useful in recovery. In active addiction, I'm not useful, you know? In recovery, I'm useful. And, you know, I allow her to guide me. And so in active addiction, it's how can I best serve me? And recovery is how can I best serve she? How can I best serve thee? And I'm grateful for this new design of living because I am something. I was never nothing, but when I'm in active addiction, I just can't be useful. And, yeah, so I'm a real Bill, y'all. You know, Bill drank oceans and oceans of alcohol, and I ate mountains and mountains of food. In active addiction, Bill was a hot mess, but in recovery, Bill was blessed. And I'm just trying to get like Bill. I'm just trying to be like Bill in recovery. And I'm so grateful I had an opportunity to do that. So thanks for letting me share. Peace.
Thank you, CK. Perfect timing. CK is from California. Up next is Luann C., followed by Dawn B. Good morning, Luann.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C. I am grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. And I just had to share because this paragraph is so beautiful. This last line here, I became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. And that just, I just want to cry when I hear that. My newfound friend, I just love that. And the whole idea of root and branch. And, you know, when I think of it in terms of gardening, I used to, when I first started gardening, you know, I just wanted to pull the weeds up at the top, you know, and just so that it looked right. And, you know, but as I learned how to garden to get the whole weed out, it took time. I had to clear the dirt away. I had to use some tools to loosen that root. And, you know, they could be really long. And I'm finding that to be true, you know, with my recovery, you know. And, you know, each situation that I face abstinently is clearing the dirt around this root. And it's not just the food. It's fear. It's, you know, these defects. They have a long history. You know, but now I'm not satisfied with the topical solution anymore. And, you know, just going on a diet or looking like I'm not afraid. But, you know, I have to be patient. And, you know, I practice the patience by busying myself with the program work daily, by learning how to recognize I need God in the moment and asking for help. And, you know, I have to practice the courage needed feel fear. I mean, just to sit and feel fear and then, you know, ask God for help to look at it and say, what do you want me to do with this? It's such a, you know, this design for living that really works, you know, and I'm just so grateful that somehow the 12 steps spoke to me and I felt like I could embrace it and look forward to it and follow the yellow brick road and practice it every day. I'm so grateful because, like was just said, you know, I'm something now. I'm something in this world. I can play a vital role in this world. Very tiny, but it's vital for me. This is my shot at life, and now I have a way to make it really a good one. So I'm so grateful. Thank you all for being helpful to me in my program, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Luann C. from Boise, Idaho. Up next is Dawn B., followed by Michelle A.C. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Mo. And good morning to everyone and afternoon, depending on where you're at. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. It's so such a gift to be on the line today. I love this paragraph. Absolutely. The second one, especially where I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I am nothing and without him I am lost. Just so beautiful. It took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent for any length of time. And now, all thanks be to God, it has been, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but 14 years of abstinence. And it is absolutely God doing for me what I am absolutely powerless to do on my own. People will say, well, what happened? You know, what happened? But it truly is captured in this paragraph, you know, just collapsing before God and on my abilities. I cannot, God, I cannot do this. I do not have the ability to be abstinent. I don't, not one moment, not one day. But looking straight at my higher power and holding on to my higher power and saying, but you do have the power, God. You do have the power. I do not, but you do. And just holding on to God with both hands and keeping my eyes on my higher power and just saying, you have it, God, you have it. And just as I walked past those grocery line stores and walking past those aisles and not allowing myself to even look at the stuff because I don't have the ability, but God does. And just keeping my eyes on God, you have it, God, you have it. I don't have it, but you do. And this paragraph means a lot to me every day as I read it over. I don't have the ability, God, but you do. And I collapse before you. And I allow you to scoop me up in your arms and you carry me and you hold me and you give me the ability to do what I can't do on my own. And I not only have the ability, I have more than the ability. As I just allow and ask to be a channel for God's love and God's light, God comes and flows through me, and I have more than enough abilities, and I have love to share with other people, and I have love to share with my family, and I ask for God's perspective to see my family more like God sees them and love them as God would delight me to love them, and I have it when I ask for it, and it's a beautiful, powerful thing. I cannot, but you can, God. And I'm holding on to God's hand, and I'm walking and running towards what I'm afraid of. And when we get, and there I pass, and God's got me, and God has you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Dawn B. from California. And before I take Michelle, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 13 of Bill's story. The first paragraph, at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol, and it ends, we're reading through two paragraphs, ending with, I have not had a drink since. So after Michelle A.C., I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. And this paragraph, I mean, every paragraph in the book, I always say, oh, this paragraph, as though it's the special exception, and it's not. The whole book is like this. But when I read it with my sponsor, one of the things she had me do was put all the steps down the side. Which steps was this paragraph referring to? And to me, it became a mini version of how to think about not only what I needed to do to work the steps, but, you know, the promises and the amazing things that happened to me in the steps. And that was a great intellectual understanding. But over the past year, I've really started to see it very differently. That idea that we need to be separated from food and the treatment seemed wise because we showed signs of delirium tremens, I see that in my sponsees, and I absolutely saw it in myself, that there was a period of hospitalization where I was a mess, and it was because it was the first time I was doing a whole bunch of things without eating, including experiencing life and having feelings, and that I needed that period. And when I see people not go into the delirium tremens, the emotional delirium tremens, I worry a little bit that they may not actually be abstinent or separated from their food, which is really interesting. But it's heartening to me to realize, like, this is part of what happens. It is hard. And there is an actual physical separated from the food that we need to go through, because what's on the other side of it is these amazing things. We get to offer ourselves to God as we understand God or our higher power and be put unreservedly under God's care and direction. And that is the most amazing gift that I've been given. And I had to go through that hospitalization period to get it. And I had to also ruthlessly face my sins, become willing to have my newfound friend take them away. And it just goes on. There's more and more promises as the page goes on. But that idea that it isn't easy at the beginning, the result of that not easy is making space for God. Putting the food down means there's space for God to come into my life, or higher power, divine love, you know, the connective tissue of the universe, for this all to come rushing into my life and be there for me is amazing. And so I feel like I've gone from hospitalization to celebration. If that's possible, I'm going to the birthday party. I'm leaving tomorrow. And that's a celebration that I can't even believe I get to be involved in. But without the delirium tremens, the period of hospitalization, the need to be separated from food, none of this would be possible. I wouldn't be the person I am today. My program wouldn't exist the way it does, and all the promises that this chapter offers us wouldn't be there. And I look back now on that period with real fondness. It was awful. I do not wish it on anybody. I am sorry when people are going through it, but it is an amazing gateway to the fourth dimension, as Bill talks about it. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That's Michelle AC from Colorado. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please wait until tomorrow. Who would like to share on these two paragraphs? Page
Lori
13.
T, California.
Lori T, California.
Rifki R, New Jersey.
Rifki. In New Jersey. Thank you. Anyone else?
Robin B, Ohio.
Robin B. I might be able to take one more. Okay, we'll go with that lineup. I have Lori T, Rifki R, and Robin B. Everyone mute except Lori T. Good morning, Lori.
Hi, I'm Lori T from California. And this paragraph is very, really connects me to God. And I love Dawn's share. Just her share really made me tear up. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And I've been on and off abstinent. More abstinent than not. And my sponsor has been telling me about the spiritual change that I think I've just been meditating on that for the past couple of weeks. The fact that, you know, I want to live life differently. I want to be able to accept life with ease and not, you know, stop fighting everything and everyone. And there's a surface level to understanding that, but for me it's a deeper level of understanding that, where, you know, I've been in the program for years through AA, but I've never really understood what it meant to really give my reality and everything over to God. I think, you know, I'm just starting, you know, I've been meditating on it every day, my God has a sense of humor. I woke up last night, I don't know, 1 o'clock, I didn't eat dinner. I woke up hungry and I put something in the oven, and then I fell back asleep and I woke up smelling that it was burning. And so I just thought, yep, that's my higher power. He doesn't want me to eat. And then also I'm like in the hospitalization program too. I have my own. I don't want to go into any stores. I don't trust myself. So stay out of the stores, just like I stayed out of the bars. I've been ordering my food. I paid $100 for Whole Food to deliver for like an entire year. And I'm away on vacation, and I'm definitely more susceptible when I'm alone on vacation up here skiing. So the food delivery saved my life, because I'm dreaming of these sweets that just melt in my mouth, and it's like ridiculous. Like, for how long does that taste good or feel good? And then the wretched feeling afterwards, it isn't worth it. I know that, but I have the insanity of thinking of this disease. And somehow, you know, whenever I'm up here, that's my go-to, except for this time. And I'm just really, really grateful you guys are here every day, whether I share or not, and I can stop. And I'm waiting on God's miracle. I'm waiting for God to show me the relief if I can stay abstinent long enough. I think 9 months was my longest time. And so it doesn't matter. I just have today. I definitely have today. So thank you so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Lori T. from California. Up next is Risky R., followed by Robin B. Good morning, Risky.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for moderating, Mo. I'm Risky R. from New Jersey. Thanks so much for everyone who shared today. So really powerful. I've related to these two paragraphs a lot. I mean, first of all, that line in the first paragraph, treatment seems wise, for I showed signs of doing treatment seems wise. But, it was pretty obvious to me that I needed some type of treatment. Besides for physically, I was over 300 pounds, about 324 pounds on the scale before the last time I weighed myself before, thank God, I became abstinent. I knew also with my thinking, I knew there was something wrong with my head going on in my brain that was just, you know, and anytime I heard saw advertisements about freedom from food, I was like, I knew that's what I needed because I just was so, my thoughts were just so tied up with food. Anytime I saw any food, I just wanted to eat it. And as I was putting it in my mouth, I was hating myself for eating it. Thinking about other things, I started hating myself for eating food, and then I hated myself for everything else that I did in my life, or that I wasn't doing in my life. I had heard about 12-step programs, and I knew that I needed to lose weight, and I knew that I needed to, you know, do something about this, all this mess going on in my brain. And I somehow knew that, 12-step program is what I needed. Thank God that He brought me here. And, I'm so grateful to Him. I met my sponsor at a meeting on March 11th of 2020. Was the last live meeting for months, years, maybe even in my area. So I'm really grateful for that timing. And I grew up religious. I always believed in God, I don't know if I ever really was able to put like real faith in Him, like, you know, to really just give things over to Him. Like, here, you know, Bill says, I place myself unreservedly under His care and direction. So even at, like, I feel like at the beginning of program, I put my faith and care, my care and direction in my sponsor's hands, which actually kind of became my higher power. Giving over my food to her and just doing whatever she said. She said, told me to go step one, step two, I had to make my phone calls to make amends. Step nine, I never would have done that. That was really scary for me, but I just did whatever she said. And thank God, He's been with me all along. And that'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Risky R. in New Jersey. Up next is Robin B. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. When I read this paragraph, the hospitalization and separation from alcohol, I remember the physical hospitalization when I first came into program, and it was the physical removal, being physically removed from the food. And then as I'm revisiting this paragraph, it's the physical removal for me, and then also the emotional removal of the food. And the emotional removal, you know, remembering that for so many years I had been using the food to push down those feelings, and then removing the food, and then all of the feelings come forth like a fountain, and not understanding and how to process all of them, and how the fellowship was so vital for me, because, you know, I felt like I was going to die. And the delirium tremens, it is a life. It is a fatal complication. And I have cared for patients that have experienced that, and it can kill people. And this emotional, this fountain of emotion coming forth, and being able to have the fellowship, and in that fellowship, not being judged, being loved, being accepted. No matter how bad I was, my OA fellows always loved me and don't judge me. And that was a lifesaver for me. And I appreciate that. And then more recently, understanding, you know, my higher power has brought me to what I need to see when he knew I was ready. That the emotional attachment that I had with food, that I didn't see, I couldn't see at the time, and that now I can have that emotional attachment with my higher power, and he is my friend. And with a friendship, I can talk freely. I can express my emotions to my higher power, and he understands. And he doesn't judge me. He accepts me as I am, all of me, good and bad. And because of this program, that is what it has allowed me to be. And the physical recovery and emotional recovery, and then the spiritual connection and building that bond, so that through that, I am able to give back to other persons and develop a normal, healthy emotional relationship with other people because of the healthy relationship that I am developing with my higher power. So I am so thankful because this program has saved my life. And so thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin B. from Ohio. We have time for about a minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Good morning, Mo. This is Donna from Denver, Colorado. I'll take it.
All right. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. My name is Donna. It's spelled D-A-N-A. I'm calling from Denver, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And I just want to quickly mention the period of hospitalization is speaking specifically about when we've first to get abstinent. But in my experience, there are opportunities for a period of hospitalization at many different times in my recovery. I recently had the opportunity to speak with someone coming back from a long overseas trip, and I shared my experience. I was in Israel in August when there was still war. And the day that I arrived, there was a missile attack from Yemen. And everybody around me was pretty accustomed to these things, and it was normalized. And it was really only when I came back that I had the opportunity to process what I had experienced and the vulnerability that I felt and the return of this spiritual malady. And I needed a period of hospitalization. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna B., for taking us out. Thank you very much, all those who shared, and for all those on the line listening. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Leslie M. to read A Vision for You.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.